And again, welcome. God bless you. And Oh, I didn't come in to talk to you. Just give me 1 minute. That's what I did. One second. I got a time to talk to you, and we'll start it in a minute. Just giving God all the praise and the glory that we can.
Please enter the call ID. Enter your PIN to follow the PIN. You are muted.
Hold on. Put that on mute. Let's see. Let me just see if this is working right. Testing, testing. One, two, three. Okay, it's working. All right, giving honor and praise to the Most High God. I'm just thanking God for the privilege of prayer, thanking God for the opportunity to be on this internet learning about the Word of God and moving forward. Thanking God for being an awesome, a sovereign God, the Most High God. Thanking God for each and every participant, listener, downloader. Thanking God for targeted individuals that are unified in prayer. Thank you, God, for all you've done, all you're going to do. Thank you, God, for the week we have coming before us, that we know that we'll be blessed and highly favored. We decree and declare that we'll be covered by the blood in our going and our coming, that everything that God has for us to do will be done. And we thank you, God, in advance for the blocking every demonic assault, attack, whether it's electronic, harassment, legal abuse, neuromonitoring, neuroprogramming, human research, exploitations, whatever traps of the devil, that it will be exposed, it will come to the forefront, that this stuff will be taken down in God's time. And we thank you, God, that you've used us to be the pilots to bring these issues forward. And we pray for the many people that have no clue, that don't know where they stand, that are running up in the doctor's office getting their injections, and ending up with deadly, deadly cancers and other horrific things. We bind that demon up of depopulation, genocide, eugenics. We plead the blood of Jesus that that stuff will be wiped off this earth. God, we just praise you in advance for using the judiciary, the legislative branch, and the executive branch to work in harmony, to dismantle such horrific programming. And God, we thank you that the monies that's going to these horrific infectious diseases to kill people, that that money is going to make a U-turn and be used to restore health, to keep people prosperous, to keep people in good health, ability, that we'll have more entrepreneurs, Heavenly Father. And we bind up every demon force under disguise and all their councils and their all these secret compartments, spiritual wickedness in high places. We bind you up in the name of Jesus. And we call the Most High God to turn the curse that these Satanists have put on this earth into blessings, because we serve a mighty God, we serve all sovereign God, and we know that God is the only one that can use his people to bring about those types of changes. The Word of God tells us that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as such, God, we ask you, God, that righteousness will reign across this earth in our coming and our going and everything we do, and that demons will be taken down. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless our targeted individual community, those that don't know how they're going to make it, God. Let them find out, God, that you're a healer, that you're a provider, that you are the restorer, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for the Bible study. We're learning about restoration. We're learning from history in the story of Daniel, Heavenly Father, how during that time many of the cities were quite rebellious, and you sent your prophets, God, to tell those people that judgment was coming, God. We're in a similar situation today, and those chose not to listen had to learn the hard way. God, we thank you that you picked a targeted individual community, that they do not have to find out the hard way, that they're living testimony that the Word of God is real, that we're living history. And we thank you, God, like you brought Daniel out the lion's den, you'll bring TIs out the targeted individual program, just like you did with Abednego and Shamrock and that story with those men in the situation they were in. God, you came and you brought them out. We know that, God, you'll bring us out too, Heavenly Father. Any furnace, any fires they have planted, it is rebuked in the name of Jesus. Any car accidents these demons are planning, it is rebuked in the name of Jesus. Induced hospitalizations, rebuked. Neuroprogramming, rebuked. Astral projection, rebuke. Disguised bipolar, rebuked. Disguised schizophrenic, rebuked. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for clarity in our mind. We thank you, God, for a clear mind. We thank you, God, that we have the mind to study the law and be able to use it, Heavenly Father, to give us the capacity, God, to continue to enforce it by exposing the flaws in that system that's designed to keep people oppressed. We bind that demon force up in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for each and everything you've done, all that you're going to do. We thank you, God, for bringing us together unified, Heavenly Father. Bless the TIs that are praying, God. God, help them in their specific situation. Turn things around. Break down barriers. Bless their children, Heavenly Father. Cover them from head to toe. Bless the elderly, each of the targeted individuals' parents. We ask you, God, for a shielding over them, Heavenly Father. The elderly TIs, God, give them the strength to endure, the stamina. We thank you, God, for giving them the gift of longevity. Heavenly Father, shield them from head to bottom, Lord. Bind up the spirit of confusion power. Bind up the spirit of demonic attacks, astral projection, all kinds of sick stuff. We bind it up in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you that we have countermeasures, that we're not standing out here idly talking about, oh, I don't believe this is happening. God, we thank you that we can say, yes, it's happening, but it's a demonic attack, and we rebuke that demonic attack in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood for coverage over our loved ones, our bloodline, our nieces, our nephews, our children, those that are not with us, Heavenly Father, that you will cover them, that the devil will not have them, that they will be men and women of God, and that they will stand on your word, Heavenly Father. God, we give you the praise. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the privilege of learning about the Bible further. We thank you, God, for the story of Daniel. And God, we ask you to touch the hearts of people that are here, and let this be a very rewarding lesson where we all participate. I bind up interruptions. I bind up anything that is not of God. God, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to pray? You can always pray at the end, too. You're on Blog Talk. Oh.
Yes, I would like to pray, Miriam.
Okay.
Father God.
Okay.
Father God in heaven, in Jesus Christ's name, I pray, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving me such beautiful angels to guide me through the most painful part of this process as I'm under brutal attack, as I'm speaking. Father God in heaven, please show me the way that I might find a way, Father, through your blessings and through your mercy, Father, find a way to ease my pain and through protective shielding, Father. Please continue to show the angels, help the angels help show me the way, Father. And I also would like to ask for blessings for the family and friends of all targeted victims across the face of this globe, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Great. Amy, you want to pray? Lisa? Anybody?
God, we want you to direct our prayers right along with the things we want done. Amen. While still on those words alone.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you. All right. We're looking at tonight. We have a quiz, and Lisa, I'm counting on you. Amy, I'm counting on you. Ann, I'm counting on you. My quiz people on the book of Daniel. So, you know, just listen. That's all we, that's all I can ask you guys to do. Listen carefully. You know, it's a Bible story, and you know the quizzes are basically right from the reading. What I'm going to do is first I'll read a little summary on the book of Daniel, then I'll go into the Bible study, and then we'll do our quiz. And we're finished with the major prophets. We have studied the major prophets. We'll be moving to the minor prophets. The final exam, I will begin Tuesday at 1 o'clock. That will be on all our major prophets. Anybody remembers the major prophets? Amy, Lisa, who are the major prophets? Well, here's the Bible study. Anybody? Our major prophets? We did Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel,
Elijah.
Who?
Elijah.
No, darling, major prophets, no. It's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And the Book of Lamentations is, that book was written by Jeremiah. So that's, there are four of them. And Lamentations is in there because Jeremiah wrote them. So the major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations is under the major prophets. We have the Book of Ezekiel, and tonight we are reviewing the Book of Daniel. Okay? And after this, we'll do our minor prophets. And this is the last one here for major prophet, and that is Daniel. The Book of Daniel is the chief example of apocalyptic writing in the Old Testament. What is apocalyptic writing? It's a form of writing that came into use largely in response to the disappointments that were experienced by the Hebrews. For centuries, they had looked forward to a reign of justice and righteousness on earth. It sounds like T.I.'s. Instead of these hopes being realized, the lot of the Hebrew people was becoming more difficult with each generation, while at the same time the forces of evil were constantly becoming stronger. We are reliving history, and that's why they target our young people. These circumstances led to a conviction that only a supernatural intervention by the Most High God could bring about the desired goal. Prior to this time, the forces of evil would continue to grow stronger, and persecutions of the righteous would become even more severe. Mm. At the appointed time, a great catastrophic event would engulf the world. The wicked would be destroyed, and the messianic kingdom would be established for all time to come. The purpose of the apocalyptic literature was to offer encouragement to the righteous to remain true and faithful to the principles of their religion. Apocalyptic literature gave them the assurance that the time was not far distant when their deliverance would be at hand. One of the chief characteristics of apocalyptic writing is an account of a dream or vision given to someone who lived a long time before the date of the actual writing, and that's why they're called prophets. Apocalyptic writings are visions, poetry, pictures, images, imagery, parables, things of that nature. In such a vision, a series of predictions is made concerning events that will occur prior to the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. These predictions will come to pass exactly as outlined in the vision, with the exception of the last ones before the coming of the catastrophe. The recital of those apocalyptic fulfillments inspired confidence that the remaining ones would take place in the near future. Apparently, the apocalyptic writers assumed that God knew the future as well as the past and could reveal those secrets to individuals who were chosen to receive them. These predictions concern specific events and definite time periods, thus indicating the exact time when particular events would occur. The occasion for writing Apocalypse was always a period of crisis during which righteous people were persecuted and threatened with death at the hands of their enemies. But the devil is a liar because God is a God of restoration. He brought out his people every time. The persecution of the Jews under Antiochus Epiphanes led to the writing of the book of Daniel. During this period of crisis, the Jews were threatened with death if they refused to worship images, continued to offer prayers to the Most High God, if they observed their dietary laws. It's very similar today, just a different way. They observed their dietary laws and worshiped on the Sabbath. Many Jews yielded to the demands of Antioch and his Syrian officers in order to save their lives, but others remained faithful to their customs and beliefs despite certain punishment. To encourage these persons whose faith was being put to a severe test, the book of Daniel was written. The book consists of two parts, one of which is a series of stories about Hebrews who lived at the time of the Babylonian captivity and those who experienced hardships similar to those faced by the Jews under Antiochus. The other part, which is more directly apocalyptic in form, consists of a series of visions that predict future events. Among the stories related in the first part of the book is one concerning four young Hebrews who refuse to follow the king's dietary laws, even though they are ordered to do so, and they are threatened with death if they disobey. The young men remain faithful to the principles of their religion, and as a reward for their loyalty, they are not only spared any punishment for their disobedience, but they are given high honors and declared to be superior. In another story, three young Hebrews commanded by the king of Babylon to bow down and worship a statue erected in his honor refused to obey this command, and as a result of their decision, they are thrown into a fiery furnace, heated to seven times its normal temperature. But God worked a miracle on their behalf, and they emerged from the furnace unharmed and without even the smell of smoke on their clothing. And still another story. All of these are in the book of Daniel. In still another story, a plot is formed to destroy Daniel, who through a Hebrew holds an important position in the government of King Darius. The king is urged to sign a decree making it a capital offense for anyone during a certain period of time to offer prayers to any god except those approved by the king. When Daniel ignores this decree and agrees to pray to the Most High God, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he's thrown into a den of lions. Again, the Most High God rescues his faithful servant, and he delivers him from the lions. In the apocalyptic portions of the book, certain dreams and visions are interpreted as predictions concerning the rise and fall of nations from the time of the Babylonian captivity to the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. In one chapter, we're told about King Nebuchadnezzar's dream in which he sees a great image with a head of gold, a beast in arms of silver, a belly of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron mixed with clay. In another vision, Daniel sees four beasts emerging out of the sea. One of these beasts is a lion with eagle's wings. Another is a bear with three ribs in his mouth. The bird beast is a leopard with four heads and four wings. And the fourth beast is described as great and terrible. It has seven heads and ten horns, among which is another horn with human-like eyes and a mouth that speaks terrible things. Other visions include one of a ram and a he-goat. Prophetic periods of 2,300 days, 70 weeks, 1,235 days, and other specific periods of time are described and interpreted. Towards the end of the book, we find one of the first references in the Old Testament to a resurrection of the dead, an analysis on the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel has sometimes been classified with the prophetic books of the Old Testament. That's a mistake owing largely to a failure to distinguish between the predominant characteristics of prophetic and apocalyptic writings. Daniel belongs to the latter group, a type of writing that in many respects sharply contrasts prophetic literature. For example, predictions of coming events in apocalyptic writings are definite and specific, thus indicating the precise time when certain events will occur. Predictions made in the prophetic writings are of general nature and are always conditioned by the decisions of people with reference to moral issues. In other words, the prophet's statements concerning the future are always consistent with the free choice of human beings, which is not true of the apocalypse. So far as the apocalypses are concerned, what was predicted would necessarily come to pass. Nothing that anyone could do could alter the situation. The impression that predictions made in the distant past were fulfilled accurately is due to the fact that the apocalypses were written after these events had already taken place, but their predictions are presented as though they were made prior to their predicted events. Evidence in the book of Daniel supports the idea that the book was written during the period of the Maccabean Wars, but many of the book's predictions are presented as though they were revealed to one of the Hebrews involved in the Babylonian captivity. Nebuchadnezzar's dream is interpreted to mean a prediction concerning the rise and fall of four great empires, the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdoms of the Medes and Persians, the kingdom of Greece, and the monstrous power over which the Jews suffered persecution at the hands of Antioch. The stone that is cut out of the mountain and the strikes establishment of the Messianic kingdom. The same set of predictions is made again in Daniel's vision of the four beasts emerging out of the sea. In his vision, a more specific characterization is given of Antioch and the power that he represents. He is designated by the little horn among the ten horns, rooting up the three of them in order to make room for itself. This horn with eyes like a human and a mouth speaks words of blasphemy, persecutes the saints, and endeavors to change laws. A further account of this same evil power is given in the vision of the ram and the he-goat. The specific time period cited in the book all have reference to the time when this evil power will be destroyed through supernatural intervention and when the new kingdom of righteousness will be created. The reference to a resurrection in the dead indicates that the idea of resurrection was beginning to find acceptance among the Hebrews. That's just a summary on the book of Daniel. Let's take a look. I did the outline before, so we'll go right to comparing Christ. Let's take a look at the Christ of Daniel. Christ is the great stone who will crush the kingdoms of this world. And we thank God for that, because if these devils thought they were in charge, we wouldn't be here. But Christ is the great stone who will crush the kingdoms of this world. The Son of Man, who is given dominion by the Ancient of Days, and the coming Messiah, who will be cut off, it is likely that Daniel's vision in chapter 10, verses 5 through 9, was an appearance of Christ. The vision of 69 weeks in Daniel 9:25, it pinpoints to the coming of the Messiah. The decree of 9 to 25 took place on March 4th, 444 B.C. The 69 weeks of 7 years equals 483 years or 173,000 or 800. Let me see. Somebody's phone. Let's see. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What is that noise? There's somebody on my line.
Muted.
Yeah, I'm going to have to mute my line.
Okay. I'm going to have to mute my line because there was some background noise.
But I'm on a different line. Let's see. Let me put this. Okay. Oh, boy, this one may be cut here. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Because that blog talk didn't come in on this phone, but maybe it wasn't on speaker. Okay, we're doing the Book of Daniel, and we're into the Bible study here. Let's take a look where is it? Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. Christ is the great stone who will crush the kingdoms of this world. Okay, I did that. Okay. Keys to Daniel. The key words are God's program for Israel. Daniel was written to encourage the exiled Jews by revealing God's power. Just like Daniel was written to encourage the exiled Jews, Daniel's written to encourage the targeted individuals by revealing God's sovereign program for Israel during and after the period of Gentile domination. And that goes during the period right now when these demons are enforced. The times of the Gentiles began with the Babylonian captivity, and Israel will suffer under Gentile powers for many years. But this period was not permanent. And TIs have to remember, this is not permanent. And a time would come when God would establish the Messianic kingdom, which will last forever. Daniel repeatedly emphasized the sovereignty and power of God over human affairs. God, we thank you for your sovereignty over human affairs, or else half of us would not be here. The Most High God rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to whoever he chooses. The God who directs the forces of history has not deserted his people. They must continue to trust in him because his promises of preservation, and ultimate restoration. I hope TIs are listening carefully. God's promise of preservation and ultimate restoration are as sure as the coming of the Messiah. By the way Daniel received revelation, we could say that two key words of Daniel are dream and vision. The key verses in Daniel are Daniel 2, verses 20 through 22, and Daniel 2, verse 44. The key chapter of Daniel is chapter 9. Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks provides the chronological frame for messianic prediction from the time of Daniel to the establishment of the kingdom on earth. It is clear that the first 69 weeks were fulfilled at Christ's first coming. Some scholars affirm that the last week has not been fulfilled because Christ relates its main event to his coming, Matthew 24:6. Others perceive these words of Christ as applying to the Roman desecration of the temple in AD 70. Survey of Daniel. Daniel, the apocalypse of the Old Testament, the prophet, the predictor of the Old Testament, he presents a surprisingly detailed and comprehensive sweep of prophetic history after an introductory chapter in Hebrew. Daniel switches to Aramaic in chapters 2 through 7 to describe the future course of the Gentile world powers. Then in chapters 8 through 12, Daniel reverts back to his native language to survey the future of the Jewish nation under Gentile dominion. The theme of God's sovereign control in the affairs of world history clearly emerges and provides comfort to the future church as well to the Jews whose nation was destroyed by the Babylonians. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans will come and go, but God will establish his kingdom through his redeemed people forever. Daniel's three divisions are the personal history of Daniel, that's chapter 1. The prophetic plan for the Gentiles is in chapter 2 through 7. And the prophetic plan for Israel is in chapters 8 through 12. The personal history of Daniel in chapter 1. This chapter introduces the book by giving the background and preparation of the prophet. Daniel was deported along with other promising youth and placed in an intensive training program in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Their names and diets were changed so that they would lose their Jewish identity. Wow. But Daniel resolved to remain faithful to the Lord, and he was rewarded. He and his friends were granted wisdom and knowledge. The prophetic plan for the Gentiles is revealed. Only Daniel can relate and interpret Nebuchadnezzar's disturbing dream of the great statue in chapter 2. God empowered Daniel to foretell the way, in a way in which he would, in a way he would sovereignly raise and depose four Gentile empires. Wow. The Messiah's kingdom will end the times of the Gentile. Because of his position revealed in the dream, Nebuchadnezzar erected a golden image and demanded that all bow to it in chapter 3. The persecution and preservation of Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace again illustrated the power of God. After Nebuchadnezzar refused to respond to the warning of his vision of the tree in chapter 4, he was humbled until he acknowledged the supremacy of God and the foolishness of his pride. The feast of Belshazzar was judged because of his arrogant defiance of God. In the reign of Darius, the plot against Daniel backfired when he was divinely delivered in the den of lions. Daniel's courageous faith was rewarded, and Darius learned a lesson about the might of the God of Israel. The vision of the four beasts in chapter 7 supplements the four-part statute vision of chapter 2 of its portrayal of the Babylonian, Persian, Greek, and Roman empires. Again, the saints of the Most High God shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. And also in Daniel, the last part of Daniel is the prophetic plan for Israel. That begins in chapters 8 through 12. The focus in chapters 8 narrows to a vision of the ram and goat that shows Israel under the Medo-Persian and Grecian empires. Alexander the Great was the large horn of chapter 8, 21, and Antioch Epiphanes was the little horn of chapter 8, verse 9. After Daniel's prayer of confession for his people, he was privileged to receive the revelation of the 70 weeks, including the Messiah's atoning death in chapter 9. This gives the chronology of God's perfect plan for the redemption and deliverance of his people. Following is a great vision that gives amazing detail of Israel's future history. Chapter 11 chronicles the coming kings of Persia and Greece, the wars between the Ptolemites of Egypt and the Seleucids of Syria, and the persecution led by Antiochus. God's people will be saved out of tribulation and resurrected as a nation in chapter 12. God's people, again, will be saved. Daniel said, God rules the world. the book of Daniel has been described as the greatest book in the Bible on the godless kingdom of God. The godless kingdom referred to here are the Gentile nations, and the kingdom of God is the millennium reign centered about Israel. The grand truth, which applies to all kingdoms, is summed up in four words. The four words are, God rules the world. Daniel is a relatively short book, but it's compacted into the basic doctrines which challenge the Bible student to tarry long in its study. A man of God writes, among the great prophetic books of Scripture, none provides a more comprehensive and chronological prophetic view of the broad movement of history than the book of Daniel. Of the three prophetic programs revealed in Scripture outlining the course of nations, Israel, and the church, Daniel alone reveals the details of God's plan for both the nation and Israel. Although other prophets like Jeremiah had much to say to the nations and Israel, Daniel brings together and interrelates these great themes of prophecy, as does no other portion of Scripture. For this reason, the book of Daniel is essential to the structure of prophecy and is the key to the entire Old Testament prophetic revelation. A study of this book is therefore not only important from the standpoint of determining the revelation of one of the great books of the Old Testament, but it is an indispensable preliminary investigation to any complete eschatological system. Daniel and his contemporaries. Daniel's ministry in Babylon was a long period of time. Daniel's ministry in Babylon lasted for at least 70 years. He was among the Jewish captives of the first deportation, and he lived in Babylon throughout the entire 70 years captivity. Wow. Can you imagine? Oof. He lived 70 years in captivity. Three powers are involved in Daniel's time. Babylon, the land of Jewish exile, came under three powers during Daniel's career: the Neo-Babylonians, the Median, and the Persian. The rulers that played an important part in the book of Daniel are Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Neo-Babylonians, and Darius the Mede, the Persian. The Persian period started under King Cyrus in 536 BC when Belshazzar was co-regent with Nabonidus. Babylon fell to the Persian King Cyrus. This began the Persian period of supremacy. The return of exiles was the finishing point for Daniel's ministry. The return of Jewish exiles to Jerusalem and the beginning of construction of the new temple began at the end of Daniel's career. The man Daniel. Daniel's name means God is judge. The name Daniel translates the Hebrew word Daniel, meaning God is judge, prince, or God is my judge. God is my prince. Excuse me. The name given to Daniel by Nebuchadnezzar's officer in Daniel 1:7 was Belteshazzar, meaning Bel's prince. It was a name honoring one of the pagan gods of Babylon. Daniel's character was flawless. Daniel is usually remembered for his courage and faith that he displayed in the experience in the lion's den. He had many other outstanding traits as well. He was strong of purpose, wise, tactful, courteous, brave, modest, humble, and a man of faith and prayer. It is not without significance that the three times heavenly messengers refer to him in visions as a man of high esteem. Daniel 9:23, Daniel 10, verses 11 and 19. Daniel was in his late teens when taken captive in the first deportation of 605 B.C. In the same group were three other young men no less noble than himself in character. These four were handsome, intelligent, and well-educated youth whom King Nebuchadnezzar selected to be trained for his service. The king gave them names associated with gods of Babylon, but they had no intention of worshiping those gods. they remain true to the Most High God. The book of Daniel tells the story of the years that followed. Daniel served as God's prophet at least 536 B.C. soon after he wrote his book, which no doubt was brought back to Jerusalem when the exiles returned to their homeland. The date of circumstances of his death are unknown. Daniel's mission had 3 points. First, it was to the Gentiles of Babylon and to Jews in exile. Second, it concerned Gentile nations in Israel. And lastly, with respect to the succeeding centuries leading up to the end time. There is uniqueness to Daniel. Daniel was unique among the prophets for various reasons, some of which are: he may not have had a special call to the prophetic ministry as Isaiah and Jeremiah. He was given the prophetic gift, but not the prophetic office as such. He served in the courts of kings. He prophesied much about Gentile nations. He was the only Old Testament prophet whose book is classified as apocalyptic. His book is the key to the interpretation of all other biblical prophecies of the last days. Authenticity of the book, of Daniel's book. Daniel, referred to by Ezekiel and by Jesus, is the author of this book. From chapter 7, verse 2 onward, the book uses the autobiographical first person. And considering the unity of the book, God's word to Daniel in Daniel 12:4, implying authorship of the entire book by Daniel, though they were wrong, liberal critics have denied its genuineness mainly because it has fantastic miracles in it, such as Daniel's deliverance from the lion. It has explicit prophecies, many of which were fulfilled in the centuries before Christ. It has alleged historical inaccuracies. Despite such objections, the book's authenticity has endured through the centuries. The book of Daniel has a place in the canon. In our English Bibles, Daniel appears as the last of the 5 major prophetic books, which are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. In the Hebrew Bibles, Daniel is not grouped with the prophetical books, but appears as a historical book in the Hebrew section called writing. That it was not included among the prophetical books is explained by the fact that while Daniel had the gift and function of a prophet, his position was that of the government official. That this book was placed in the writings as a historical book can be explained by its content with apocalyptic visions of world history. The date the book of Daniel was written was late in life. Daniel probably wrote his book soon after the last